Mark chapter 2. A couple of weeks ago, through the admonition of our synod, our local session called for a day of prayer and fasting. Of course, as a nation, we've been facing a lot of very significant decisions, not all of which, or not maybe many of which, we could say have gone according to the Word of God. And anticipating these very important issues, a lot of believers have been uniting in prayer and fasting. And one of the things that's come out of that are some questions about, well, why do we fast? What's the purpose of fasting? So I wanted to address that a little bit tonight, and then, Lord willing, again in about a month when I'll be preaching again in the evening service, we're going to take up this topic of prayer and fasting and see if the Lord will not shed some light on it for us. So I've chosen for our text tonight Mark chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. So let's listen together to God's Word. John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and they came and said to him, that is to Jesus, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus said to them, while the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear results. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost in the skins as well. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would teach us, instruct our hearts, and help us to have a great heart for prayer and for seeking your face. Teach us about fasting. We pray, Lord, that as we walk with you, as we grow in our faith, that more and more, Lord, we might use the means that you've given to us so that we might love you more, so that we might see you more clearly, so that we would walk with you in faithfulness. So we commit our time in the Scriptures to you tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Fasting should always have as its primary objective seeking the face of God. To say it in the most simple way, that's the reason that we should fast. We want to know God. We want to draw near to God. We want to see the face of God. There are really no other compelling reasons. And part of what Jesus is getting at the end of this passage is that there were other reasons that existed for fasting in Old Testament Israel. Often they did it as a means to try and earn favor with God. So they would fast because they were trying to demonstrate to God that even though they were living in sin, even though they weren't really seeking his face, oh, they're willing to make this great sacrifice. They were willing to fast. And Jesus is confronting that head on. He's, of course, referencing the fact that his disciples who have committed themselves to following him see his face day in and day out. There's no need for them to fast in that context. A day would come, of course, when Jesus was crucified, when he would ascend into heaven, and they too then would begin to fast. Not in order to win salvation, not in order to try and prove something to God, but because they would want to maintain this same longing, this same desire to see God, to be in the presence of God. So fasting serves this purpose, always to find the face of God. Now the word fast means simply to go without food. Literally, that's what it means. Sometimes it actually gets translated to go hungry. So you children, you like to eat breakfast, right? Have you ever thought about what the word breakfast means? It has the word fast in it. It also has the word break in it. To break means to stop something. Breakfast is a time where we stop fasting. Because what do? We eat our dinner at night and then we don't eat anymore. We don't eat that evening. We go to bed. We sleep all night. We get up in the morning, and we have fasted all night long. So breakfast is a time where we break our fast, where we stop not eating, and we start to eat again. So this is the idea of fasting. Now, as a spiritual exercise, which is the far most common meaning of the word, both in the Hebrew and the Greek, it simply means to voluntarily go without food for the purpose of seeking God. People fasted by giving up one meal or two meals or a day of eating or a week of eating or several weeks of eating so that they could, instead of pursuing physical nourishment, they could find spiritual nourishment. A fast is a time where the eating of food is replaced by meditation upon the Word of God. It's a time when drinking is laid aside so that we might pray, that we might call upon the name of the Lord. Now, one thing that you might be interested in knowing, and I think it's significant, nowhere in the Scripture is fasting commanded by God. It doesn't hold the same place as other spiritual disciplines, which clearly are commanded by God. We're commanded, for instance, to pray. If you don't, as a believer, pray, you violate the commands of God. We're commanded to meditate on the Word of God, to meditate on it day and night. It's a command to worship God. We're commanded to do it, to sing praises to God. That's not an option. We have to do these things. They're laid out for us before God. But nowhere in the Scriptures are we commanded to fast in the same kind of way. Now, certainly there were times when corporate fasts were called by the leaders of God's people. We can find times when in their historical context, a prophet would call upon the people to fast. Prescribed days of fasting certainly were called for and set in order, but God doesn't require it in the same way that he does other things. Nevertheless, it is often demonstrated that those who voluntarily enter into a fast to seek the Lord would find him in very special ways, in ways that they never had found him before. So fasting is a spiritual discipline. It is a spiritual exercise, and it should always have, as we've said, as its primary objective, finding God, seeking God, calling upon the name of the Lord. What better objective is there in life than this very objective? Isn't this what we're called upon to do? Paul said, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Is there anything that should be a higher priority for you than seeking God, than knowing God, than calling on his name? As we look into the Scriptures and begin to study this topic, we can find that there are different reasons that the people of God would fast. There are different things that would compel them to fast. One of the things that we often find is that people were compelled to fast in order to repent of their sins. It's a sin that separates us from God. It's sin that causes God to hide his face from us. So it's sin is the very thing that drives us away from God. And if fasting is a very means that God gives us to draw near to God, we can see how compelling and how important fasting might be when we're struggling with particular sins. God has said that there's a way in which we can find him. And that way is through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So this is where we have to be careful. And this is where Old Testament Israel often got into trouble, because they would live in sin. We can read about it in Isaiah, for instance, where they were turning away from God. They were abusing the poor. They didn't really care about the things of God, and yet they would hold on to these fasts. And then they would cry out to God, well, look, God, look how committed we are. Look how righteous we are. Look how holy we are, because we're involved in these fasts. And God would have nothing to do with it. He said, I don't really care about your fasts, because they weren't ultimately, through their fast, seeking the Lord. There's only one way that our sins are going to be forgiven. It's not going to be by how much you fast. It's not going to be by how often you pray. Your sins are going to be forgiven through Jesus Christ and through him alone. So anything that you would do apart from seeking Christ, apart from trusting him and confessing your sins to him, is going to fall short of what God desires. Now, one place that you can see this whole idea of confession working itself out is in the life of Nehemiah. Nehemiah understood the value and the importance of being broken before God in the face of sin. And when he came to realize the totality of God's judgment for the sin of the people, we're told in Nehemiah 1 that he sat down and he wept and he mourned for days as he fasted and prayed before the Lord. Now, what was it that caused Nehemiah to do that? Well, it was a broken heart. See, when he saw his sin, his spirit was broken before the Lord. There was a grieving that came upon him, and it compelled him to come before God to seek forgiveness. The people of Nineveh in Jonah's day were moved from within to fast and to pray because they came to understand through Jonah's preaching their own wickedness. And so as their sins were preached against and as their heart was pierced, nobody had to tell them, nobody had to call upon them to fast. It was the natural response of their repentance. So as they felt this conviction, they stopped eating and they called upon God. Joel understood it, his prophecy. He said, "Gird yourself with sackcloth, lament and wail, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, come and cry out to the Lord because destruction is near." Now, he was confronting them with their sin, but he recognized the thing that needed to happen. There needed to be a brokenness of his spirit. And so as we face our own sin as a nation, or as we face our own sin as individuals, one of the things that we need to ask is to God to break our hearts, to tenderize us, so that we understand the nature of our rebellion against God and that we're moved to come before God, to fall on our faces, and at times to stop eating so that we might cry out to him for forgiveness. People of God who fasted in the face of their sin had a sense of the mighty holiness of God, and they desperately wanted forgiveness. We need to gain a sense of that desperation because of our own sin. Where's the longing for forgiveness today in our nation? Where is it in the church? It's not there the way it needs to be. There's a flippant attitude towards sin. We've dismissed it. We've justified it. We've pushed it aside as though somehow God doesn't really see or care. If you're here today and struggling with sin, and you know it, and you're convicted of it, if you've moved away from God in order to fulfill your own desires, God has one message really for your heart. Return to me, and I will return to you. Repent. Come to me. I would suggest that you consider a day of prayer and fasting for your own soul, for your own needs. And even if you don't feel that sense of desperation, perhaps you could set aside that day and ask God to give it to you, to give you a brokenness of heart. For this is what we need if there'll be revival in our own souls. There's another reason that people would often fast. They would fast in order to mourn great loss. If you have lost to death, parent, spouse, sibling, close friend, then you no doubt know the agony and the pain and the suffering that can come into your own heart. The Bible gives us examples of godly men who responded to grief by prayer and fasting. 1 Samuel chapter 31, valiant men came and took the dead body of King Saul and his sons off the wall of the Philistines. And then we're told that they fasted for 7 days. David in 1 Samuel 1:12, who had been sought after, his life threatened by this same king, time after time after time, when he learned that Saul had died, he mourned, he wept, and he fasted because of the death of the king and because of the death of his best friend, Jonathan. The Bible teaches that God is the great comforter. He understands our grief. He knows what it's like to lose one whom he loved. He sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross. Seeking after God in special ways during grief can be a means of great healing, can be a great time of finding the comfort of the Lord. Again, God says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Another reason that people would fast would be to find the will of God. To find the will of God. When a person becomes so consumed with finding God's purposes for his life that nothing else matters, he is apt to give up even the necessities of life until he finds God's answers. Now, Job, of course, was a desperate man who was suffering significantly. All these things that had happened to him. And he wanted answers. And he didn't understand everything that was happening. And he had friends that were telling him things that were not true. And there was a sense of confusion. Job didn't have it all right himself. But in the middle of all of that, he says, I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. There was a time when Job simply wanted to hear from God more than he wanted anything else, more than he wanted to eat. It's a rare thing in our own churches, in our own spiritual climate, to see people that want to hear from God more than they want to eat. We see that in the New Testament, the church in Antioch, they were fasting in the midst of the ministry. There were wonderful things happening in Antioch, and they wanted more. They wanted to know how God would use them. So they were praying as a body of Christ, asking God to open doors for them. And in Acts 13, it says that while they were fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. So what did they do? Well, not only did they set apart Barnabas and Saul, but they fasted and they prayed some more, and then they laid their hands on them and they sent them out. But here's a people of God that are compelled by a desire to know the will of God, to be used of God. So they fasted and they prayed. This is a compelling reason that you may want to fast. You need light. You need direction. You don't know where to turn. Well, there can be a point where you fast and you pray because you're so concerned with knowing the will of God that nothing is more important to you than that issue. And you set aside time to seek the face of God. It doesn't have to be a specific question. Doesn't have to be one compelling issue that would lead you to fast. There are many believers down through the ages who have simply set aside a regular day of fasting or regular days of fasting. Got a friend every Tuesday, he fasts, just part of his spiritual discipline. Every Tuesday, he spends extra time with God, extra time praying and reading the Word because he simply wants to know the will of the Lord. He wants God to direct him. He wants to be tuned in spiritually to the things that God would have for him. He wants to know the mind of Christ. So this is a reason that we might fast. Finally, there were many who would fast in order to petition the Lord for action. Sometimes we simply sense that God needs to act, or we want him to act. This was the basis upon which our synod called on our churches to pray and to fast, because we sense the desperation that we're in as a nation. When the people of God have been driven to the brink of destruction or despair, when they become exhausted in their own resources and abilities have met their end, they know they need the mighty hand of God. And often what they do is they pray and they fast. You remember Esther and the story of Esther, that marvelous way in which God used her to be an instrument of deliverance for the people of God. Well, she risked her very life to come before the king to make that request. And so before she came, she fasted. And she asked the people of God to join her in praying and fasting that God would move, that God would direct the heart of the king, that God would bring deliverance to his people. David prayed and fasted for the healing of his son after he'd committed sin with Bathsheba. Very interesting. God didn't answer that prayer. And he took the life of his son. Here it was his own sin, his own rebellion against God that had brought these difficulties on his life. And yet after he'd been confronted with his sin, and we know from Psalm 51 and other places he had confessed his sin, he prayed, he fasted, he called upon God, because ultimately he knew that any answer that would come from the hand of God. It would not come from the hand of men. Ezra fasted and prayed for safety as they prepared to go back to Jerusalem. It was a dangerous journey. So what did they do? He called upon the name of God for action to deliver them. Jehoshaphat was afraid at one point in his ministry. The armies of his enemies were gathering against him. And the scripture tells us he was scared. And he didn't know what to do. So he prayed and he fasted and he called on the people of God to join him in that fast. And of course, God delivered his hand. And God delivered the people. So these are some reasons for fasting. To repent of sin, to mourn great loss, to seek guidance, to ask for deliverance. You don't have to fast in order for any of these things to come to pass. All are available to the people of God and as blessings from his hand. You confess your sins and certainly God will forgive you. You can mourn, and God has promised to draw near to you and comfort you. You can seek the Word of God and find wisdom and guidance from the Scriptures. You can ask for God to move and lift up prayers of petition to Him, and God will hear your prayers and answer. But if you are especially burdened, then draw near to God. Consider fasting. Consider this special laying aside of your necessary food so that you might seek the face of God. If you have a deep longing for God, an unquenchable desire to seek His face, or if you wish that you did and you want to ask Him to give it to you, you might want to consider a fast where you commit yourself to prayer and meditation on His Word. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. Fasting should always have as its primary objective the seeking of the face. Father in heaven, we confess to you that this is a discipline that we don't often enter into. Yet, Lord, we pray that you would so work in our hearts that we might desire your face, desire to see you more than we desire our necessary food. So, Lord, thank you for this means of grace that you've given to us in which we can especially draw near to you. So, Lord, teach us how to pray. That was a request that your disciples once made. And, Lord, as part of that, they learned to fast later on in their lives and in their ministries. So, Lord, we pray that you might teach us to pray and teach us the joys and the benefits, the graces that abound when we pray and fast and seek your face. So apply this to us, Lord, as you would, and we pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to Psalm 102, selection A.